You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Louder boos. Paul George, if he signs anywhere but LA, or Dwight. And then at the very end of the show, I'm going to save the journalist stuff because it's inside baseball and talking about myself feels kind of weird anyway. I'm going to save that for the very, very end. But like I said, I'm going to start with that who gets more boos. We'll start there and then we'll see where the show takes us from there. As always, make sure you guys are following the show on Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Silver Screen and Roll, Lakers Outsiders. You can follow me on Twitter at Anthony Irwin LA. Let's start there, though. This is a fun question. Who gets louder boos? Paul George, if he signs anywhere but LA, or Dwight? So I think to a certain extent, Laker fans have kind of sort of moved on from Dwight. It's just kind of holding a grudge. He did besmirch Kobe, which, as I found out, is unforgivable in this fan base. So you have that to worry about. But look, he's on now, what, his third or fourth different team since leaving the Lakers. He's become kind of a joke throughout the NBA. So I think there's a certain aspect of, like, we'll move on because the poor guy kind of needs to be moved on from. So, and yet you still have Paul George, who it'd be kind of weird to boo him for making a career decision. You know, he never specifically said that he never confirmed the reports that he was hell-bent on becoming a Laker at any point. He's played things pretty down the middle, but it would be a disappointment. So to actually answer the question, I think Paul George gets more boos, misplaced as they might seem. I'm kind of iffy about booing players just in general anyway, like unless it's Paul Pierce. Like, you always boo Paul Pierce. Like, personally, when Paul Pierce comes on the TV for any kind of ESPN show, I just start booing. Actually, anytime somebody says Paul or Pierce in a sentence, I just boo. It's the weirdest thing, and it has put me into some awkward situations. You know, I've been kind of searching through Twitter, getting ready for church on like Christmas Day or something, and then I'll see Paul Pierce pop up, and I'll just boo, and people get a little iffy about that. But yeah, I don't know about booing, especially booing somebody who has never been a Laker and is going to make, at the end of the day, what decision is best for him, whether it's financially and getting paid more to be in Oklahoma City, or if it's a situation, if he thinks it's a better situation for him on the basketball court in Philadelphia or in Boston or wherever he might wind up. Based on everything that I've heard to this point, Paul George seems like something of a done deal to LA, but you never know how these things work out. It's funny, if I worked for ESPN, that would get aggregated. But I don't. I'll move on. I think Paul George gets booed more than Dwight Howard, mostly because Dwight Howard is like too sad a figure to boo at this point. Let's move on and find the next question here. I really enjoyed this question. This is from, I hope I'm pronouncing your name right, Austin. Hello, Anthony. You are doing great shows, even a solo. Thanks, man. I wanted to ask you if you would agree that the rebuilding team of Nick Van Exel, Eddie Jones, etc., while they were more fun to watch because of how they competed, they won more than this group, but comparing to the current rebuilding team, this core of Randall Ingram, Kuz, and Ball, etc., actually has more talent. I actually agree, and it would be kind of unfortunate if they didn't have more talent, seeing as where some of the guys have been drafted compared to the guys that they had back then. The league is also more talented at this point than it was back then, so the Lakers would be really screwed if they didn't have more talent on their roster. And then you also got to see how everything plays out in this upcoming offseason. I look, all that said, those mid-90s teams are, you know, the teams that made me fall in love with the Lakers. The Showtime Lakers were a little bit before my time. By the time the three-peat came along, I was already a big Laker fan. At some point, maybe I'll put the clip that my mom has, and they actually unearthed the video, but at some point I'll put the clip of me as like a seven-year-old kid doing the Nick Van Exel punches in the air. I'll throw that on my Twitter account or something. But all that said, these guys, this current Lakers team, they have a legitimate, like if everybody stays healthy, I don't think they make the playoffs, but I think they contend for it, you know, and that's really all we could have asked heading into this season. And we'll see how things go this upcoming offseason. I'm going to take a quick break. When we come back, that actually winds up being a perfect segue into the next topic, into where Luke Walton ranks among other coaches across the NBA. All right, so the subject of this question is Luke Walton a top 10 head coach? This is from Dion Martin. There's a ton here, and actually I appreciate you listing all the coaches. It made it a little easier for me to figure out where I would rank Walton. And the answer I settled on, and I know you guys are probably going to get a little annoyed at this, but it's impossible to say where he ranks right now. He is still insanely young in the grand scheme of things. He is coaching a team that headed into this past season with very little in terms of expectations. And next season, depending on the roster that he has in front of him, and actually really no matter what roster he has in front of him, there are going to be higher expectations on him, seeing as how well the Lakers played, especially defensively this year. Now, where you put those expectations might give you a little bit of a hint into where he potentially ranks. And look, here's the list that you're working on. You have Greg Popovich, Brad Stevens, Steve Kerr, Doc Rivers, Rick Carlisle, Eric Spoelstra, Quinn Snyder. And then, you know, you get like Nate McMillan, Terry Stotts, Dwayne Casey, although he is now on the unemployment block. Mike D'Antoni, Tyronn Lue, Alvin Gentry, and so as you're seeing, there's a lot of really good NBA coaches. I think when we talked about this last year, I said that he could be a top 10 head coach as soon as next season. Again, though, there's just no way to fairly judge where he currently sits. Their defense, coaching defense and setting up culture and setting the foundation upon which the Lakers are going to build moving forward in terms of on-court product. Like, he's done all of that incredibly well. It's just way too early to judge. I think I do fairly conservatively think top 10. Do I think he could ever get into that top five range? I mean, you're talking about Pop, Stevens, who is working wonders in Boston, Steve Kerr, who is the head of, in my opinion, the best team ever, Rick Carlisle, who might be an actual wizard, Eric Spoelstra, Quinn Snyder. Like, those are some names that's going to be really hard for him to leapfrog. And, you know, maybe he gets in there to the back end of that top five list. But if you end this upcoming season thinking to yourself that Luke Walton is a top 10 head coach, then I would say mission accomplished from that standpoint. Let's go to the next question here. This is from friend of the show, then L33. First off, if the Laker fans or if the Lakers do land a, I'm paraphrasing at this point, but if the Lakers do land a LeBron or a Paul George or a Kawhi, how would the current Lakers feel about it? This is going to sound calloused, and I hope no current Lakers are listening to this, but it doesn't matter at all. It really doesn't. If you have the opportunity to land a Paul George or a LeBron or a Kawhi, and then he also mentions Anthony Davis and Giannis and their free agency in 2021 and whether the Lakers could pull off a trade before that time comes. If you have the opportunity to get that type of superstar in the NBA, that's what you do. And the other thing, too, is like obviously there would be some trepidation on the part of the Lakers because – you're talking about opportunities kind of going away that they might have had otherwise. You're also talking about a ton more pressure when the Lakers to this point have really been able to exist in a world, even by Lakers, especially by Lakers standards, they haven't had to deal with much actual pressure. And if as soon as a superstar or multiple superstars show up and you're talking about title contention, well, that magnifying glass, as we've seen with Jordan Clarkson and with Larry Nance Jr., Nance can't even get on the court. Jordan Clarkson has been abysmal for much of what we've seen in this postseason. Once that magnifying lens kind of hits you and those Lakers, those Staples Center bright lights get even brighter, you never know how players are going to respond to that. So, you know, do I think that their games translate well? Yes, absolutely. As we've talked with Pete, Lonzo is just kind of that ingredient. He's like the sriracha, right, where you just add it to just about anything, and whatever that goes into is going to taste a little bit better. Kyle Kuzma is a stretch four who can slide up to the three and provide shooting. And if he figures things out and is not a liability on defense, that works with anybody. Josh Hart is a championship level role player almost already, right? And if he just continues to grow and develop at a decent rate, he can work with just about anybody. Julius Randle is one of the more unique talents across the NBA. And he's a big who can step out and guards in switch situations and also punish people down low when that time is called for. And Brandon Ingram is a player who we aren't sure what type of niche that he'll carve out for himself, but we do know it's going to be a positive one. And so just in terms of concept, a lot of these guys are going to work with just about anybody who shows up. But it's about how will all of these guys handle that increased pressure. And how will they handle having to succeed and be productive on an NBA court with fewer opportunities to do so, right? And so I think all of these guys would be, you know, they would all answer that they would be really excited to play with any superstar. I would hope that they also accept it as a challenge that they, you know, they need to carve out a spot for themselves in this rotation. And in order to do so, you need to prove that you belong on the court alongside these aforementioned superstars. So to answer the question from a team building standpoint, doesn't matter. To answer the question from an honest standpoint, there would be some, I think, concern about where they would fit in the rotation moving forward, especially somebody like Brandon Ingram, who might not necessarily fit with a LeBron James in terms of what would work out on a consistent basis. But for the most part, all of these guys, as they should be stoked to play with a superstar, proud of the fact that they've done enough to make that superstar come to the Lakers. And then number three, and most importantly, accept the challenge of playing and succeeding alongside those superstars. All right, we're going to take another quick second here. And when we come back, we'll answer one more question about basketball or whatever, and then I'll get into some of the I guess career stuff that you guys a lot of people are interested in. So BRB. So part two of that question was about this is from then L33 again, and again, I can't thank you guys enough for sending in these questions. They are great. I could not do this show without them. If you ever want anything answered on the show, send it to us in a iTunes review, a 5-star review, and I'll answer them as I'm batting 1,000 right now. But all right, so part two of that question from Thanel is both Anthony Davis and Giannis are free agents in 2021. What are the odds of either or both wanting a trade before then? And then you can kind of get into why Anthony Davis might want one because of ownership concerns with New Orleans and their owner passing away, and then Giannis being frustrated by a lack of growth potentially in Milwaukee. You just never know how these things play out. And one thing, and it's really cool, by the way, it's really cool that NBA players are using their leverage and using their power to say, nope, I want to be in the absolute right situation because I'm going to be judged largely in part due to my own success is going to be based on the situation that I'm in, right? So do I see either of those guys maybe demanding a trade? Anthony Davis less so, because he seems to genuinely love the – and that isn't to say that Giannis might not in Milwaukee. He seems to also as well. But I just feel like I get the sense, because he's been around a little bit longer, that he feels a little closer knit to the community of New Orleans. The other thing too is if they do hit the trade market, do the Lakers have enough assets to maybe land them? I would say yes, although it depends on what they would look for, right? Like if the Warriors were to call New Orleans and say, we'll offer Draymond Green and, you know, whatever first round picks and role players that you guys need, it's kind of, I don't think the Lakers could match in terms of actual NBA player production, a player as good as Draymond Green in a trade package. Boston still has all of their assets, right? And probably even more now than they did at the start of the postseason because of how well the young guys have played. And now you have, again, actual NBA production that they could offer in any kind of trade here. So the Lakers would have their work cut out for them in actually making that trade. And if you guys are asking me if I think they should, it always depends on the price. But if you can get a player as special as Anthony Davis, as special as Giannis Antetokounmpo currently is, you do that and you make it work after they arrive in Los Angeles. All right. This is a question that came from D3DS. And it's a subject line, careers. Anthony, this doesn't necessarily have to do with the Lakers, but how did you get to where you are now? Host of two podcasts, any advice for aspiring journalists? All right, so one thing this is going to sound bad, and I'm not crapping on an industry, but I always kind of hesitate when anybody calls me a journalist. I'm not. I do very little in terms of reporting. I think journalism is a dying industry because they have refused to evolve to a certain extent to the new things that are being presented in media and sports coverage. And so I won't go so far as to call myself a journalist. I have done journalist stuff. I have worked I've worked in PR. I'll just really quickly tell you where I came from. I graduated Cal State Fullerton with a bachelor's in English. At the time, I was a coach for high school. I was running my own program. I had coached a kid in JV, and his dad was in PR. And I thought that PR seemed like an interesting public relations, that is. I thought that was an interesting career path. So I worked with those guys for a bit. And the whole time I was there, I was still – I always had in the corner of my eye, you know, an active Twitter account. I was always very interested in sports coverage. And John at that time, who had done PR for the Portland Trailblazers and Team USA, said, well, just go for it, right? And I did. I had another job. I stopped at – I worked at – I did – Hyrite was a – I did some – a form of PR, but it wasn't really PR for those guys. I did not like that. And I took the dive. And I fortunately come from a very supportive background with my family. I had saved up with what I was making in PR before. My wife graduated and became a doctor of physical therapy. And so that helped in those times where I sacrificed financial income to be able to do this. And so, like, that's where I say, like, I'm just really lucky. I'm really fortunate in the fact that I was able to do this and able to make that sacrifice and make it out on the other end. In terms of actual advice I would have for people trying to do this, I would just say, look, do you, really, first and foremost, because you're going to there's going to be more downs than ups early on and for the entire growth of doing that, and you're going to sacrifice all kinds of things to get there. So if you're going to do that, if you're going to make all those sacrifices, you may as well make it out on the other end and be able to be yourself, right? Because that's the only way this industry is really worth it. And then the other thing too is study the industry itself. Study the people working in it. Try to find market inefficiencies. At the time, I guess it was five 3, 4, 5 years ago, we had the there was the Lakers were tanking, and the Laker fan base wasn't necessarily thrilled about it, but there was a desire for people to talk about, you know, why it would make sense and what was actually best for the Lakers back then. So it was the team tank group, and then I accidentally hit play, or I accidentally hit record, which is ironic given the entire D'Angelo Russell situation. I accidentally hit record, and the 4 or 5 guys that were in this Google Hangout, we went live, and people seemed to enjoy it. And at that time, there weren't very many podcasts specifically about the Lakers. The Kamenetsky brothers had theirs, and there was the ESPN and AM570 radio shows that would occasionally make their way into podcast form, but there wasn't really much other than that. And I kind of thought, well, if I am going to be successful in this, I'm probably better at speaking than writing, though most people would say I'm not very good at either. And I just kind of said, well, this is where I think I'll be able to find some sustainable success here. And fortunately, and this is my last bit of advice for everybody, and I pardon the rambling here, but also find people that you respect, find people that you are willing to admit on multiple occasions are smarter than you, because they're going to push you, they're going to challenge you, they're going to make you better. And in the case of my career, it was Harrison, and then it was with the other guys at Lakers Outsiders, and it was with Locked On NBA, it was Adam, who I consider to be really smart. And so those are, you know, find people who you can work with, or Pete is the latest example, right? Find people you can work with who will push you and challenge you and make you better, and then continue to meet that challenge and get better with each and every day, to not sound so cliched. And you know, there's no guarantees in this stuff. And like I said, I'm really fortunate that my parents were able to help out. I had saved up whatever I saved up with when I was working in PR, and I'll, oh, last I promise, last bit of advice is, early on in the process, never turn down any opportunities. I know there aren't very many of them that are paid, but at the time, so I started at Rant Sports. And when I was there, I said I wanted to focus on the Lakers. And then they said, well, could you write about the NFL? Well, okay, yeah, I'll write about the NFL. Could you write about college sports? Yep, I'll try writing about college sports. At that time, there was a SportsBeak LA. They had a Lakers writer, but I said I would try to write about the Clippers. And I you know, choked down my pride, and I wrote about the Clippers for a season. And then Silver Screen came calling because of the success of Team Tank podcast, and I wasn't going to turn that down. At the time, I was also writing for Darius over at Forum Blue and Gold, and so I've done work across the NBA for the Sports Fan Journal and all of these different things. And you know, does it mean your schedule is going to be pretty jumbled? Yeah. And will there be frustration because you don't always get paid for those kinds of things? Yeah. But you just always have to have that end goal in mind. And fortunately for, and I'm blessed. And I think, you know, the big guy upstairs every day, that I have made it here, but fortunately it looks like, you know, this career has actually panned out, and it looks like it will continue to pan out. And if you guys have any questions or you know, if you want any kind of advice from me personally, feel free to reach out. my last bit of advice would probably be to ask people with a little bit more success than me for advice on this stuff. But yeah, I've been really, really fortunate with it. And, you know, it was an imperfect path, and you know, we'll see where it leads from here. But so far, so good. All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening to my ramblings there. Again, if you have any questions about anything at all, leave them on the iTunes reviews in the form of a 5-star review, and I will get to those every single Monday. I record Sunday night, so that I can get as many of those questions as I possibly can. So thank you very much for those of you who left them there. We will be back again tomorrow to talk to somebody, whether it's Pete or whoever, to review some Lakers season from last year. Hope you guys are enjoying that. If you've missed any of them, we've done Lonzo, we've done Randall, we've done Ingram, we've done Kuzma and Hart. if you guys have any, if you guys like that, find those on iTunes and on Stitcher and anywhere you find podcasts. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody.